You know, when you think of somebody fighting off ghosts or spirits or demons or whatever that may be, the thing that comes to my mind, and probably yours in many cases, is the always made famous in movies, somebody walking around with a crucifix and the holy water or sage or something like that, and saying prayers to get rid of whatever it may be that is infesting a home. Pretty dramatic for television or movies. And in real life, sometimes pretty dramatic as well. Heard many stories like that. It strikes me as interesting as being one of the more effective ways of getting spirits to go away, good or bad. Seems to be the blanket or the sheet. Meaning, you run into bed and you cover yourself with your blanket or your sheet or both. And then eventually peek through and hopefully whatever was there is gone. Does this always work? In some cases, yes. In some cases, not so much. Including our stories today where we hear about people in those situations. Very creepy, very paranormal. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. And sometimes the blanket covering works. Sometimes they peek back out and no, whatever that is still there. Why they're still there, that's the question. We hear two stories of two different haunted houses, but somewhat similar experiences at different places on our planet. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, it's EPP number 417 of Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. When you're a child, the idea of monsters under the bed seems like a feasible one. Because why not? Everything is new. Everything's a possibility. And your mind can go to pretty extreme places as a kid, as it's developing and learning all different ways of functioning and interpreting reality. Sometimes it is just that, our imagination. Sometimes there is something else out there. Something with a goal of instilling pure fear into the hearts of the innocent child that's only left to fend for themselves with a blanket and a pillow. That's what happens in our next story. Take a listen. My parents have recently moved from my childhood home into a house that will be easier for them to enjoy their retirement in, and it has prompted me to revisit some childhood memories of a house where I grew up and get in touch to share some of those experiences. It's a three-story brick house plus a large attic built in Tory, England in the 1950s, so fairly normal and not very old by English standards, but as there always is a but in such stories, it always felt off to me and my mom. My dad and older brother are the extreme end of the scale of skepticism when it comes to the paranormal, so I've always brushed off any weird feelings or occurrences as being due to creaky floorboards or our imagination, etc. But there have been too many strange happenings for my mom and I to enjoy their peace of mind when we're in that house. I should probably say that the women on my mom's side of the family have a long history of being sensitive to things that occur outside of the normal realm of experiences. So I grew up believing that ghosts and the paranormal were definitely real, but having seen and heard things there myself, I now absolutely believe that there's more to life than just the physical. As far back as I can remember, there was no one defining incident that made me afraid of being alone in that house, but I do remember being a very small child and constantly feeling uneasy there, and feeling like you were being watched wherever you went, and that if you would just turn around or look over your shoulder, that there would be someone there. On the occasions that I did muster the courage to look, there would of course be nobody. but it didn't dispel the feelings of a presence or person still being with you. Being a child, I didn't have anything else to compare this to and took it as a norm, as if everyone had things in the house that they couldn't see that made them afraid. And oddly enough, my mom and I didn't start to talk about her feelings or experiences either until I was much older. She was trying to protect me and not frighten me. And in some ways, I am glad that she didn't, because it allowed me to not be influenced by anything she'd seen or heard, so that we were eventually did compare notes. I did know that these things did in fact happen, and I wasn't just a kid with an overactive imagination. Because looking back, it's easy to dismiss odd events as being a child's creativity, or if it weren't for the sheer number of things that occurred, I'm not sure what I would believe myself, or even want to believe it. Things started small. The floors on the second floor would creak in a rhythmic pattern like footsteps walking from room to room, even when there was nobody up there. I remember one spending an hour terrified and locked in the downstairs bathroom when my parents were out because I'd clearly heard someone walking around upstairs even though I was alone in the house. And the doors started to open on their own. The lounge carpet was quite thick, pile, and didn't allow for the door to swing open in the wind. You had to push it quite hard to move it, but fairly regularly, my mom and I would be sitting on the sofas just for the door to creak open and nobody be on the other side. As I grew up and became a teenager, things started to ramp up in gear. My mom and I started seeing odd dark shadows in the corner of our eyes, things that move, but when you would turn to look at them directly, there would be nobody there. Our family cat Lucy passed away, and we would still hear her sitting in her favorite spot halfway up the stairs, looking through the banisters, just for her to disappear when you walked into the hall to get a better look at the shadow on the stairs. But the feeling that it had been her was overwhelming. Lucy hadn't been the only animal in the house either. While she was still alive, both my mom and I had experienced something shaking our beds while we were trying to sleep. The way an animal jumping on the bed might make it rock before they circled to lay down, but it would never be Lucy. She was usually on the windowsills when this happened. It seemed to occur particularly when we were upset or feeling emotional. I like to think it was some sort of attempt to comfort us. When my dad had a stroke and was in the hospital, my mom felt something leap onto the bed that first night. She was alone, the bed shaking with the weight of whatever it was that jumped up there. But when she looked, nothing was there. I felt it too on the night I was going abroad to stay with another relative for a while. Feeling mixed emotions of excitement and also sadness that I'd missed my parents, I just turned off the light and settled to try to sleep when I felt the bed shake as something, presumably the cat, jumped up by my feet. I felt the unmistakable sensation of her circling as cats do before they lie down, then the weight of her pressing against my leg as she curled up for the night. I turned the light on as this was unusual enough for her to want to sleep on my bed that I wanted to make the most of the last cuddles before I wouldn't see her for a while, but as I did so, the feeling of weight against my leg vanished. There was nothing there. There had been no time for Lucy to have jumped off the bed. The presence against my leg just vanished instantaneously. But an indent was left in the blankets where something had clearly been. I leapt out of bed to find Lucy curled up on the windowsill as per usual, and the spot she was lying on was warm as if she'd been there for some time. It took me a long time that night to turn the light off and relax enough to sleep again. I'm convinced that there was more than one spirit present in that house, because while the ghost cat felt to some extent comforting, or at least not threatening in any way, there were other experiences and presences that demonstrated some sort of intelligence, and others that felt downright dark and frightening. When my mom and I did finally acknowledge to one another that we'd individually had some spooky experiences, talking about it seemed to increase the activity around us, as if we'd somehow given it more energy to feed off with our attention. One day we had been in the dining room chatting while my mom made something on her sewing machine, and the conversation turned to the topic of ghosts and how uneasy the house had always made us feel. As we spoke, her sewing machine suddenly whirled into action, and her frightened reaction made me realize that it had done so without her touching the foot pedal. We leapt up and watched in horror as the sewing machine started to run full bore without either of us being anywhere near it. I don't remember what she said, but I remember my mom shouting for help, essentially. So I did the only thing I could think of doing. I yelled, "Stop!" did. The second that word had been spoken, the machine stopped dead, and there was a deafening silence. We were shocked, and from that point on, my mom was less willing to talk about whatever was in the house, listening to us and trying to get our attention for fear of making it more active. Things didn't stop, however, and actually started to get pretty dark and terrifying from this point on. When I was very young, I had shared a bedroom with my brother, but once we were old enough, we were given separate rooms. I hated my room. It just felt wrong and unwelcoming, particularly at night. As a child, I didn't have the vocabulary or understanding of these things to explain properly why I felt so uncomfortable there. And the only way I can describe it now is to say that the air felt thick. Somehow it felt like the room was full of something, like fog. The atmosphere felt heavy, and I remember sleeping with the hallway light on and my door open because I didn't want to be in total darkness. I used to wave my hand in the air as I lie in bed trying to understand why it felt like my hand was being slowed by something in the atmosphere, like I was waving through a thick mist. I never experienced an atmosphere like that before or since. And then the figure started appearing. Sometimes it would be as I lie on the verge of sleep, and sometimes it would be woken up by it, but it became a regular occurrence that as I lay in bed, a dark hooded figure would suddenly be there in the room. I could feel it as vividly as I could see it. The malevolence of this thing seemed to come off it in waves. It was tall, maybe 6 feet, wrapped in a black cloak, that covered it from head to toe. I can still see it in my mind. The rolls of cloth that partially obscured where its face should have been. It looked solid, real, and utterly terrifying. The creepiest thing about it was that it had no face. Just a black void of almost pure darkness where there should have been features, but I could feel it looking at me. Sometimes it would be in the room facing towards me, but more often it would be right next to me, looming over me as if it were studying me intensely. As we're going to pause the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, number 417. Thank you guys for listening so far. There's far more to be heard, though, if you become an extra podcast person. We'll dive further into the story, what happens when those two now adults get together and discuss some of those haunting memories of sleepovers as adults. And does hiding under a sheet somehow deter a spirit? Does it give them a clue that they're not welcome? Or does it make them more likely to come back time and time again? Those stories and more when you become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or through the Patreon app. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online or find the link there at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month gets you access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Also, you get all of those commercial free, including advanced episodes of the show and bonus episodes exclusively for EPP supporters. Extra podcast people is what EPP stands for. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Click Become an EPP either on the website or through Patreon. All there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.